Folks, good evening, Remnant. Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this February 9th, 2017. Thanks for tuning in. Grab your Bibles. Got a little bit to read about tonight. We see the things in Isaiah happening today. That's what we're going to talk about, and some current events. So if you've got time, grab your Bibles and stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. Good evening again, folks, Remnant, and welcome. Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and I am coming to you live from it was a beautiful day at the Radio Ranch today, this ninth day of February. Was texting my buddy Cowboy Paul out here saying, you know, this is almost like springtime here in February, and it is. Almost. We did have a pretty brisk wind blowing out of the west, and that kept you with something wrapped on your head and a scarf around your neck and some coveralls and gloves on, being out on the tractor moving a little hay around this afternoon. But it's still winter time, and that's how it is out here. In our winter time today, we're having more pleasant weather than, let's say, Cape Cod, than, let's say, the Northeast, where I saw one news report today, they're expecting maybe feet of snow out on the coast. So we're going to pray for those, for the remnant, for our brothers, for our neighbors up in the Northeast as they are getting hammered with snow. And I saw a report, it looked like some places in Montana, maybe somebody from Montana is listening in, but I heard there were places got 4 feet of snow recently in Montana in one slam. Well, God is good, and His ways are right. And if He sees fit to bring 4 foot of snow, then praise the Lord for it, right? That's what we are to do. We are to exalt in the hope and the glory of His calling. We're also to exalt when we get 4 foot of snow dumped on us. And pray that we're ready for it. Well, let's do that now. Before we get any further in this broadcast, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and I will ask you to join me in that we would be in agreement in the name of Jesus, praising our Heavenly Father. And, O Lord, we do that very thing, Heavenly Father. We come to You in agreement, me, myself, and I, if that's all there is, Lord. But I come in agreement, and I know there are those listening in and tuning in, Lord, that are in agreement in the name of Jesus. And we come, Lord, as Your servants, as those of Yours that have been washed in the blood. And, Father, we come thankful. We come praising You, saying, Lord, You are worthy of praise. And we do thank You, Father. We thank You for the untold blessings that You pour out upon us, Lord. Blessings that we had today, that we have today, that we don't even realize that we have them. It may be tomorrow or years down the road before we realize some of the blessings that You have blessed us with, Lord. But we know that You bless us every day, for we have returned to You. And Father, Your blessings are on us not because of what we've done, but because of who You are and what You've done and what You set in motion for us from the very beginning of time. And that is Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank You. We thank You that You willingly, for the joy set before You, You endured the cross. because you saw beyond the cross. You knew that that was just for a moment, and you saw beyond it. You saw to this day and to the future that there would be those of your people that would return to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for going to that cross. Thank you for saving me from my sins. And I confess my sins to you, Lord, both known and unknown, and I repent of them, and I ask you to forgive me of them. And I ask, Lord, for the remnant as well, that those tuning in, Lord, would be moved, and that they too would realize that that's what we are to do. That's what your word tells us to do. And that when we do, oh Lord, then we are exalted. Then you exalt us. Well, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be exalted. I pray that you would be exalted in this broadcast tonight, that Lord, as we speak to one another, as we fellowship, that Lord, you are exalted and that you are glorified. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and to be with me here at this Radio Ranch microphone and to guide my lips, my tongue, my words, my thoughts, that I would say your words, O Father, and that I would speak the words you want spoken to your people. And I trust in you, Holy Spirit, to do that very thing. And I claim that, and I ask that. Lord, we read about it in your word. We talked about it last night, Lord, on the prayer meeting. And Lord, I claim it. Father, strengthen us, guide and direct us. Let your word be a light on our path, and a light in this dark world. And let your light shine through us, Lord, that we would be able to, well, to show others your grace and your mercy and your loving kindness. And I thank you, Lord. I pray all this to the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray this. Amen and amen. Well, again, good evening. Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live tonight. We've had been doing a little traveling lately, and so haven't had time, been kind of in here and out of here. Haven't had time to have the phone lines open the last couple weeks, but we do tonight. I have plenty to talk about, some current events that I thought I'd share with you. Target is kind of back in the news, and Starbucks as well, and seeing how that compares in with some increases from the job market and from the Department of Labor. Thought we'd talk about a few of those things tonight. But we do have time to have the phone lines open, so we'll open them up here in about 10 minutes or so, before halfway through the hour. And that number is 307-745-5913 if you want to call in. You know, our Bible reading plan, we're reading through Isaiah. We started in Isaiah back on Sunday the 5th, and this 2017 Bible reading plan is a little different. We've explained that to you, and we have sent hundreds of these out in addition to the thousands that we sent out with the newsletter and to those on the newsletter list. And I'm enjoying reading the Bible this way. I'm doing my best. My wife and I both are reading it together in the morning, and what a blessing that in itself is. But reading it according to these categories, the epistles, prophecy, gospels, the law, and reading a book or part of a book in a week, it's giving me, I'll call it new insight. It's a great review. I'm reading and highlighting things that I know I've read before. And sometimes it's like, aha, that's where that is. That's where that is. We're reading Isaiah 23 to 28 today. And one thing that came out for me that I saw, and I highlighted it today, was here in Isaiah 28, 13. So the word of the Lord to them will be order on order, order on order, line on line, line on line, a little here and a little there. And that is how God's word comes out. God is a God of order. God is a God of this, and then that, and then that. And if you read a little bit about it, it talks about, you know, who would he teach knowledge? To whom would he interpret the message? To these just weaned from milk? He says, no, it's order on order. Here and there. And this, to me, brings to mind that, you know, we are to study the Word. And we are to study the principles. We are to study the basics. And then once we get the basics down, then we study a little more. And we apply a little more. It is like drinking that milk that it talks about. Who would he teach knowledge to? Those just weaned from milk? And it's no. But those that tune into these broadcasts, I found normally when I talk to people, they are beyond those that are just weaned from milk. They are ready for that meat of the Word. I enjoy a little kefir, a little yogurt, a little glass of cold milk at night, maybe with some cookies or some brownies that the wife or one of the daughters have made. Oh, they're delicious. Great with a good glass cold of milk. Good glass, cold glass of milk. Yes. But that New York strip that I get every now and then, that's pretty good too. Who doesn't enjoy a good beefsteak? A good 11-ounce sirloin cooked medium rare. No, that steak, that meat of the Word, we sure like that as well. And I'm hoping that as you've read through Isaiah, starting this past week, you see how, like it says in Isaiah 5:13, my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. Well, we find ourselves in that position again today. We are in exile. We are in Babylonian captivity, which is a type of exile from God, because of our lack of knowledge. Remember Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And we have this Bible to give us knowledge. We have the Holy Spirit to give us knowledge if we will ask for it. In Matthew 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Do you think it's really as simple as that? Ask and it will be given to you? Well, I can't go into a bank and ask for $1,000. Well, a lot of people can. I doubt that I could, but credit is so easy today. You could even do that. But that's not what we're talking about here, this Thursday night, February 9th. We're talking, as it says in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask for wisdom. I ask for discernment. I ask for an understanding of your Word. I ask, Lord, that you would give me that understanding and give me the ways and means and the words to be able to share that understanding with your people. And I ask this to the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, that it would glorify him in Jesus' name. Amen. It really is as simple as that. When we ask from a sincere heart, he grants it. His word is truth. I have it in my notes here somewhere, the scripture. I don't have it right here in front of me, and I don't have it memorized. Shame on me. But when we ask and we do not receive, the problem is not in the giver. The problem is not in Matthew 7:7, where it says, ask and it will be given to you. That's not where the problem is. The problem is within us. If we ask and do not receive, we need to turn inward. We need to look at the person that looks back to us when we look in the mirror and say, why is it? What do I need to change or fix or do, or how much more do I need to be weaned from the milk so that I will be able to receive what I am asking for? I've used the illustration before about wanting to give. Ask and it will be given to you. You know, we as fathers and husbands, we as men, we are all created in the image of God. And some of us are blessed with children. I have a 14-year-old son. You've probably heard of him. His name is George. Oh, and when the pastor was preaching from the pulpit, my son George got called out more than once, maybe ringing the bell in church or various things. Well, George is 14 now. He's as big as I am. And George wants, he would like to have a certain firearm, a little 22 pistol revolver type of thing. And he wants it. And he's done what Matthew 7 here. He says he's asked. And then he points this and he says, you know, Dad, it says here, ask and it will be given to you. And as his father, I certainly want to bless my son. I certainly want to give him that which he desires. And you know, that comes from our Heavenly Father, who does give us what we desire. He does give us the true desires of our heart. We just don't always know what those are. And the issue that comes up is I know my son is just not ready for what he wants yet. He's just not ready for it. And that's because I'm the dad. I'm the father. I know what's best for my children when I'm in order with God and there's order in the home. And I don't say that in arrogance. I say that in humility and in proper order with Christ. When I am under Christ, then I do. I know what's best. And I know my son is not ready for that yet. So he asks and he doesn't get it. Now that doesn't conflict with the word. It goes right in line with it because there's more to it. When we just read that, ask and it will be given to you, that might be construed as the milk of the word. But when we realize that there's other scriptures, there's other places that we have to realize, we have to be ready for it. We have to be able and responsible enough to accept and to deal with and to properly use that which we ask for. And sometimes we're just not ready for it yet. Like my son George. He's being trained. We go out shooting when the weather's nice. I can tell you, we haven't done a whole lot of that lately because it's been a little chilly out here. But in the warmer times of the year, we get to go out and do that. And he's being trained. And he's proving to me and showing to me as time goes on, hopefully he will continue to do that, that he is able to, he will be responsible enough. And that's my hope as well. And I'm working with him along those lines to get him to that point so that one day when he does ask, it will be given to him. That's my hope. That's my plan. I know it's his hope as well. He's just not ready for it now. And sometimes when we ask and we don't get what we want, well, sometimes most of the time, we are just not ready for it. Doesn't hurt to keep asking, but what we want to do is look back inside and see why. Why? Because it's with me. Kind of got off on a tangent there, jumped off in right field a little bit on that, but this Matthew 7, I have highlighted up, and I was hoping to get to some more around here in Matthew 6 and 7, but we're talking about Isaiah. When you read through this first half of Isaiah, and we've got through about half of it this week, you see chapter 8, Samaria and Damascus fall. And when you read through it, Assyria is God's instrument, but they're going down. You read of the arrogance of Israel. You read all through it how there are these woes, these prophecies against Babylon, the judgments that are coming, the Medes that come in and take over, and boy, they rule and reign, and then they fall. And Moab, oh, the judgments on Moab, and Moab was devastated. The judgments on Assyria, all these lands, and you read on through it on Tyre and Ethiopia, the prophecy coming against Damascus and to Egypt. You get a couple chapters of this, the devastation that comes upon Egypt and Ethiopia and Edom and Arabia and all. And I just mention these. You may say, well, what does that mean to me today? Well, what occurred to me today, I'm reading through this, and then I see the headlines. I see some of the headlines today, how Target And we've talked about Target. We've shared it in some scriptural review of the news over the last year or two, and how Target has today, the big store Target, they were very strong and vibrant and growing up until last year, up until a little over a year ago, 12, 14 months ago. And now, since last April, since April of 2016, their stock shares have fallen 23%. That equates out to about a $10 billion loss, a $10 billion drop in their value of their company based on where it was before April of 2016. And part of that is due in large part, I'm sure if you went back to this time last year and you talked to the Target board of directors and the Target investors and those people that Target was growing, they saw their niche market, they were growing. There's other department retail stores, Sears and Kmart, that are declining, that have been declining, and they still are. But up until last year, Target was growing. Now, they weren't as these countries of Tyre or of Moab or Assyria, but I think it relates. It related to me anyway. Well, now, all of a sudden, in a year, they have lost $10 billion, almost a quarter of their value, and it's still going down. They had plans to expand. Oh, those plans are on hold. They're backing off those. And this is due to a large part in, it's the moving of the Holy Spirit, but it is the decision that they made of their transgender policy. And they didn't just quietly make it and ease it in, and people start asking, you know, people would have to ask questions to find out about it. Oh no, they went on the offensive last year. They wanted to go out and stand up tall and proud and haughty and tell everybody about it. And what happened? Well, over 1 million people boycotted Target. I can tell you I'm one of them. Maybe it's 1,000,001, and I'm the one, or the seven or eight of my family we still have at home, because we haven't been back into one since then. We haven't spent a dime there. See, they chose the goats. They chose to be with the tares. They chose to stand up tall and proud and haughty as the land of Tyre and as of Moab and Assyria and Egypt and all these nations, Philistia, that we read about here in Isaiah, that the prophecy came against them, and they were devastated. They once were great, and they were devastated and destroyed. You know, Starbucks is another one. Starbucks is being boycotted now. And I'm ashamed to say I've spent some of my hard-earned money at Starbucks, but not anymore. Not anymore. This is my vow to you. I don't intend. I'm going to do my best not to spend another dime there. It's bad enough that their CEO, old Howard Schultze or whatever it is as ungodly and unchristian as he can be, as if that wasn't reason enough. Well, they've changed. They've turned. They've changed, and this latest about when our president has said, hey, we need to stop bringing all these refugees from these terrorist countries into our country until we can do a check on them and make sure and do it in limited numbers. You know, give us a few months to settle this out. Well, no, that wasn't good enough hasn't been good enough for Hollywood, hasn't been good enough for Starbucks, to where the CEO had to come out and pledge to hire 10,000 immigrants. 10,000 refugees, it really means 10,000 illegals, in his stores. And a lot of the American people, a lot of those that have the law of God written on their heart, some of those that have not been destroyed for a lack of knowledge, they've said, well, you go do that, but I'm not going to come buy coffee from you anymore. And I would encourage you folks, don't go to Target. And I know there's many other stores, places of business out there that are unchristian. And if they are, just don't go there. Go spend your money somewhere else. Starbucks is that way. I saw a thing on the news, and it was a veteran. I forget his name. He's out in, I think, Salt Lake City, Utah, somewhere. But it's called Black Rifle Coffee Company. And I Googled the site, looked at it a little bit, looked it up. I ordered some coffee from him. I'm going to try it out. I'll try it out. I like a good cup of coffee. Sometimes two. Usually two. Sometimes three. So I'm going to try it out. I'm not going to spend my money at Starbucks anymore. I can tell you that. And anyway, when I saw these, just these couple of headlines this week, is reading through Isaiah and seeing all these once great, you know, when you read, and if you haven't read these first, say, 20, 23, 25 chapters of Isaiah, go back and look through them, because it reminds us and it tells us how great and grandeur, just how fantastic these kingdoms and these dynasties were. They were the ruler of their land, maybe the seaports, Tarshish, the ships of Tarshish. Oh, they were the grandest thing ever. And they were wiped out, the devastation that came upon them. And I see that in some of these large companies, these groups of people that are nothing more than tares, as the Bible calls them, whether they are a group of people or a corporation. And they have continually, Kellogg's is another one. I didn't bring it back here. I saw it and I printed it out and left it on the printer tonight. But Kellogg's is another one, laying off people, shutting down. Tony the Tiger, it's great. I grew up on that stuff. It really ain't so great anymore. They've chosen which way to go. They've chosen to steer over to the left. They've chosen to associate themselves with, as the Bible calls, the goats over on the left. You know, and I shouldn't say that. I got to mark that down. I'm not going to say that anymore. It was only maybe a year ago, well, it was just a year, year and a half ago, when Target decided to do this, to push their transgender, sinful, un-Christ policy. And I really think that they thought it would just be accepted and they would just move right up and gain even more market share. Well, that hasn't happened. And that's been since April of 2016. And I think the same thing with the CEO of Starbucks thought, well, I'm going to hire 10,000 illegal immigrants, refugees. I'll hire them. And I think he thought, hey, this has worked in the past. It'll work again. But see, things have changed. And things changed in the prophecies that Isaiah gives about the destruction of these nations. That's one of the reasons it is so important, yes, even today, to read our Bibles, to study, to move on from just the milk of the Word. It's time to move on from that. And Isaiah, when you read through this, you see bits and pieces, because you know the great thing about Isaiah is he tells of the coming Messiah that will save their people from their sins. And Isaiah, we read of the prophecy of the virgin will be found with child and bear a son, and she'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Well, there's great good news here in Isaiah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, we read in Isaiah 6:3. The whole earth is full of his glory. Well, you know, it is. It was then, and it still is. I highlighted this, Isaiah 26, the second part of verse 9, and it says, for when the earth experiences your, which means God's, judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. And see, that's what we are to do, to be doing today. When we see things like Target failing, when we see other companies that for the last two generations they've been moving out of the company, they still are. Ford's still going to Mexico. So is GM. So is Caterpillar. They're still going. But when we see these things, when we experience these judgments upon us, our jobs, our livelihoods, know that, as it says in Isaiah 26, 9, it's to learn righteousness. It is to learn righteousness. It's to learn that order on order, that line on line, a little here, a little there. We can't open the phone lines up, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, I'll try to get the buttons pushed here and get that set up. Did see another current event today, another headline, where the Department of Labor showed an increase in over 227,000 jobs increased, net increase, since the election. Just, what, 4 months ago. And I didn't have time to look up and see how that compares to maybe that quarter, that kind of mixed quarter, end of the calendar year, beginning of the next calendar year, kind of right in the middle of the fiscal year, but how that compared to last year. But 227,000 more jobs is better than 220,000 more jobs. Now, I understand some of those numbers are just statistics. They're just what is put out, and maybe they're just grabbed out of the sky. Not putting our hope and trust in that. But when you have big companies that are reporting losses, that are reporting turndowns and things like that, it is good to see that maybe there are some new jobs in the market. And I know, I've seen headlines, the coal industry is doing its best to get fired up and to get into expansion. I see that with the oil, with the natural gas. We see it out here in Wyoming and Colorado. We see pipelines being built, which creates jobs, which is good for the economy. And I guess one last current event, I saw a headline, I don't know if anybody else saw this, wasn't even sure if it was completely true or not, but it talked about in Paris, they're planning on building a wall. Maybe this wall thing is catching on. I don't know. Maybe it is. I think the Pope wasn't too happy about it, but that they're building an 8-foot glass wall around the Eiffel Tower. And the small news blurb that I saw mentioned something to the effect of you'd still be able to see it, but it would keep tourists and terrorists tourists and terrorists from just being able to walk right up to it. Well, how about that? That's how Gay Paris has turned, that's what Gay Paris has turned into, I guess, and that's the old definition of that word, and not the new ones. Well, hopefully you're reading Isaiah. You are. If you tuned in to the Wednesday night prayer meeting last night, I hope you did. We had a minute. We were reading in James 5, James 4, and I thought that I would go back and revisit that, because it many times here at the Scriptures for America ministry, and whether it's in letters or emails or phone calls that we get, when we have the opportunity to talk and to minister with people and to share the gospel, the word of God, and at the camps and conferences in Branson, which will be here before we know it, just in a few short months, that first weekend in June, we'll be gathering in Branson. And more along those lines will follow. We're working on the next newsletter, the Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 2, and hopefully we'll have that at our printer, down at Jason's Print Shop here pretty soon. But many times we get asked, or it's insinuated, well, what now? How do I deal with this? What do we do? And James tells us, we talked about James 5 last night when it comes to healing. And our brother John said, you know, one of the things we are to do, whoop, don't want to say that, that's again, not going to do that. But our brother John said, some of the things we are to do that the Bible tells us, when we're seeking healing, the Bible tells us to repent. Repent of our known and unknown sins, to confess those sins, and to pray. And you know, we can't, oh, there it is again. I'm breaking a habit, folks. Sorry about that. In the habit. And it's a bad habit, so I'm breaking it. We can also say. Many times we say, and when we say, there is power in those words. If you go to motivational speaking classes or public speaking classes, things that usually the motivational speaking classes, the ones to encourage you, you hear things like, if you say you can, you can. If you say you can't, you can't. Because there is power in our words. There's strength in our words. And last night we offered the Words in Power series by Pastor Peters. And I'll offer it again tonight. If you haven't heard it, contact us. We'll get it out to you. I think we ask a $12 donation or offering for it. If you can't afford that, we'll send it to you for free at no charge. We need to understand the correlation between words and power. When our Heavenly Father instructs us in the Lord's Prayer, that's what He says. The first thing is, say, Our Father who art in heaven. It's to say it because there is strength in our words. When we say, when we claim that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, then guess what? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. When I say, by His stripes I am healed, then guess what? When you say that, there's power in those words. And so we are to watch our words. We are to be aware. We have become a society today. I was in town this afternoon and speaking with a friend, associate in town, and somebody else that we know came up and sat down, and about every third word out of his mouth was not the type of words you would use in front of your mother, or you shouldn't anyway. And that has just become commonplace. It's been commonplace. We are to guard our words. We are to watch our words. And John mentioned that last night. We can say, I rebuke, if we're looking for healing, we can say, I rebuke this illness. I rebuke this infirmity. And I command it to go in Jesus' name. And there is power there. There is authority there. Now on the flip side, if we claim rheumatoid arthritis, you just might get to hold on to rheumatoid arthritis. If you claim, and I mentioned it I think a few weeks ago, in the past, not today, but in the past, I've fought high blood pressure. And by my words, in my past, I've claimed it. I've told others that I've claimed it. Well, I rebuke that. I rebuke high blood pressure from my life. And I command it to go in Jesus' name. You're not welcome here. I don't want you here. So be gone. I am healed. I am claimed. I claim that. Christ used words when He rebuked the sea, when He rebuked the wind. And so when we go back to James, we've read it in James when it comes to healing. James 5, starting in verse 13, says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. And that's as true today as it has ever been. If you're suffering, pray. go to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. Go to Him on your knees, if that's what you have to. Oh, it's not that you don't have to, but you can. But you can. If you're suffering, pray. Are you cheerful? Sing praises. Turn the radio on. Listen to good Christian music. We have CDs available from Mike Platt J. That's good Christian gospel music. We try to play good music on Sunday. You can get good music. You can find it on the internet, on GodTube, I think is one place. YouTube, you can even search and find. You can find good music. If you're cheerful, sing praises. Are you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So if you do have sickness, if you do have a need, this is certainly biblical to do these things. And we read a little from a little earlier in James in chapter 4, starting in verse 7. It tells us, submit therefore to God. Actually, verse 6 leads into it, I think. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So ask yourself, are you humble before God? Are you humble before your fellow man? Do you want grace from God? It says he gives grace to the humble, and God is opposed to the proud. I was reminded of, we watched a movie a while back, and in the movie, the man, the husband in the movie is, well, he's fallen off the straight and narrow, and he's sharing, he's confiding in his friend at the gym. And he's told his friend that he's been fighting with his wife. He doesn't know how or why she's reacting in a positive way the way she is. And then he tells his friend that she's even been praying for him, that his wife has been praying for him. And his friend replies something to the effect that, well, you know, it's one thing to be arguing and fighting against your wife, but if you're fighting against God, you're not going to win. And I thought of that when I read this. God is opposed to the proud. We're only to boast in Him if we boast at all. I'm not calling anybody proud. I'm just reading the Word. If you are proud, if you're eaten up with pride, well, God is opposed to that. So change. He gives grace to the humble. And then we read on, and it lets us know. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, what if you don't resist? Well, he won't flee from you. I don't have a degree from seminary, and I think I've got that figured out. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can be Christ-like and say, Satan, get thee behind me. Satan, get thee behind me. It worked for Jesus. There's power in words. So if you have a thought that just doesn't seem right, a thought that doesn't bring that abundant life that Jesus Christ speaks of and brings to his obedient, repentant remnant, if you have a thought that is more along the lines of ungodliness or stealing, killing, and destroying, which comes from the thief that comes in the night, and it comes from the liar So if you have those thoughts, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That doesn't mean he's going to stay gone. But if you resist, you will overcome, and he will flee. It says, draw near, verse 8, of we're reading in James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. There are times, I remember our pastor taught on it. I've spoken with people about it. I have felt it and experienced it myself. There are times that it seems like you pray and they just kind of hit the ceiling. Boom. And then they bounce back and that's it. They don't go anywhere is a term that I've heard used many times. It seems sometimes people will say that my prayers, it seems, just aren't heard. God just doesn't seem to be near. He's so far away. Well, if that is that way, this addresses it right here. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Remnant, that's one of the reasons that we have been pushing this Bible reading plan so hard. It is one of the ways we draw near to God. And if you draw near to God, he will draw nearer to you. So says the word. So if you are feeling apart from God, if you're feeling way out there in left field all by yourself, if you're feeling that God doesn't hear your prayers, draw near to him. Read the word. And he will draw near to you. Pray. Remember we read that here in James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Are you suffering from the loss of a loved one? Are you suffering from a loss of a job? Maybe your job's not one of those 227,000 new ones. Maybe yours got cut. Are you suffering from that? Are you suffering from pain? Are you suffering from sorrow? Are you suffering from hopelessness? Pray, is what it says. Then he must pray. See, it's not a suggestion. And as Christians, we've said it before, but the thought comes to mind, what sort of people, knowing the times we're in, what sort of people ought we to be? We are to be a repentant people. We are to be a praying people. I've got a couple minutes left in the broadcast. Got a caller. We'll go to the phone lines. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hello, Richard. How are you?
Good evening.
This is Dee from Ashbrook.
Hi, good evening, Dee.
Hi. I need prayers for my sons that they come to God, and prayers for me hoping to, and I believe that I will do this job with God's help. So I really need some prayers.
Well, we will sure do it. Dee, what is your son's name?
Justin and Cody.
Justin and Cody?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard.
Well,
really appreciate it.
We will sure do it. And
all right, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, Heavenly Father, you heard the request, Lord, from Dee. A loving mother and wife that loves you, Lord, that proclaims you, that has repented. I've spoken with Dee over the last year, has repented of her known and unknown sins, Lord, and she has confessed them. And she does pray to you. And she lifts her children up to you, Lord, that they would come to know that they would draw nearer to you so that you would draw nearer to them. And so we do pray. We ask your Holy Spirit to come down upon them, Lord, to come down upon Justin and to come down upon Cody, Lord, as their mother Dee requests, and to make yourself known to them, to give them that desire to read into your word. Lord, we know that you hear the prayers as parents pray for their children. And you hear and answer them. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for your answered prayer. And we claim Cody and we claim Justin for service to the King of Kings. And we say, devil, we resist you and you must flee. And we stand in the gap for Justin and Cody. And we stand with them, and we resist you with them. And you must flee. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us. And for your protection on our children. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are just about out of time. I hope I wasn't rambling too much. I do want to wrap up one other last scripture verse here in James 4. Verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Sometimes you have to, as it says later in James, to confess your sin. You know, that's humbling. If you were wrong, you find out sometimes you were wrong, you go and confess that. Sometimes you have to go to somebody that it may be embarrassing to tell or to say that you were wrong, and you just have to do that. Sometimes you may have to humble yourself to God. You know, we are to be growing and learning. Growing in his grace and his knowledge. We are to, as it said back in Isaiah, to be weaned from that milk, to grow. One of the ways we do that is we read his word. It may seem like a simple thing. Watch your words. If you'd like that Words and Power series, I think it's series number 16. You can contact us. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Our email is preacher, P-R-E-A-C-H-E-R, preacher at sfaw.org. Send us an email. You can go to our website, Scriptures for, F-O-R, scripturesforamerica.org, and that Words and Power series is available there. Well, Remnant, thank you for tuning in. And Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Now, Remnant, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are his, bless you and keep you. May his face and countenance shine upon you and grant you his peace and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.